3232 or email development@kbu.fm to notify us of your plans.
KBU is proud to co-sponsor the Palestinian Film Festival, October 5th to the 7th, at the Fifth Avenue Cinema in downtown Portland. From Friday evening to Sunday afternoon, the theater will feature films by and about Palestinians and the Israeli occupation.
The Stones Cry Out, a film about Palestinian Christians, will play on Friday, October 5th. Then, The Wanted 18, about the nonviolent struggle in Beit Sahur and the herd of 18 cows that Israel deemed a national security threat.
The Occupation of the American Mind, Steadfast Hope, and more.
You can find a link to tickets for the event on kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
The time is 6 p.m. You are listening to KBOO Portland. Coming up next is Labor Radio.
To you, the 9-to-5-er, just making your way home. To you, the all-night driver, out in your cab alone. To you, waiting for lunch break, as the minutes drag so slow. Take courage, turn the volume up, it's Labor Radio.
Hala. Welcome to the Coalition Black Trade Unionist segment of Labor Radio, highlighting the works of the working class, by the working class, and for the working class, here on KBOO 90.7 FM, where the heart of the community comes alive 7 days a week. My name is Tina Turner Morfitt. I am a retiree of the American Federation of State and County Municipal Employees and the president of the Coalition of Black Trade Unions. Tonight, I'm joined by my sister in the struggle.
Hi, I'm Dr. Audrey Terrell. I'm a retired staff executive for the International United Auto Workers out of Detroit. I am the vice president of the Oregon Coalition of Black Trade Union and also the president and CEO of the Dr. Audrey Terrell Institute.
Tonight, our segment will be a discussion about the Washington State Labor Council's approach to addressing racism in the labor movement. Our guest tonight is Sister April Sims, who is the current political and strategic campaign director with the Washington State Labor Council. Welcome, April.
Hi, Tina. Thank you so much for having me on tonight.
Hey, Sister Girl. Thank you for agreeing to come on. You guys are doing some wicked work up there.
Thank you. I'm excited about it.
So you want to give our members a brief synopsis of all the work that you've been doing in Washington?
Oh, yeah, I'd be happy to. Well, again, my name is April Sims. I'm the political and strategic campaign director for the Washington State Labor Council. And we have been working on we began our racial justice work in the summer of 2015 when delegates at our convention passed a resolution calling on President Jeff Johnson to convene a special committee to take up President Trumka's call to have a serious and open-ended conversation about what we can do and about what we should do regarding race and the labor movement.
Okay, so did you just call a meeting and decide to do that? What was the preparation to start that ball rolling?
That's a great question. Yeah, this work doesn't happen easily or on its own. If it were easy, we would have done it years ago, right?
Right.
So, one of the things, the resolution was clear that this discussion needed to include the topic of institutional racism. And on the heels of that resolution, in the summer of 2015, some of you might remember, there was a Bernie Sanders rally in Seattle that was interrupted by a group of Black Lives Matter activists.
Yes, I remember.
And the people at that rally were outraged. And the Pacific Northwest passive-aggressive racism was out in full effect, and it wasn't just from the usual suspects, but it was from well-intended white people and from members of our own labor movement who were saying, you know, I agree with what these activists are saying, but I don't like the way they did it, so they don't have my support.
Mm-hmm.
And this racial divide was highlighted and compounded because the rally was organized and supported by the broad labor community.
Mm-hmm.
And so that really highlighted for us the need for us to do a real deep dive into racism and how it shows up in our union and in our workplaces, and the need to really educate union members and leaders on the various manifestations of racism. And that it doesn't always show up in its most malicious form,
right.
And that in fact it's much more insidious when it shows up in its coded and strategic and dog whistle forms, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we started off by reaching out to local community leaders in the Black Lives Matter movement and the NAACP and other Black-led organizations. And, you know, frankly, they were reluctant to meet with us. And that further highlighted the need for us to be really intentional about our work.
Mm-hmm.
They essentially told us, you've got some work that you need to do in-house. And once you've started on that work, then come back to us and we're happy to have these conversations.
Gotcha.
So, in early 2016, President Johnson convened this special committee made up of Washington State Labor Council staff and leaders, members of our constituency groups and diversity committees, and we held a series of meetings in early 2016 per the resolution, and these meetings were facilitated by known activist and author Bill Fletcher Jr. Those early meetings included conversations about who should be at the table. They were messy. They were sometimes difficult to facilitate. but what we wanted to do was create the space for people to share their truth.
Sure.
And we finally landed on the need to do training for unions and affiliates around, you know, racism, how it shows up in our movement, and what we can do to dismantle it.
Okay. Wow. That was a lot. So
I'm hitting you with a lot, my sister. My apologies. I'm excited about this work.
No, you know what? Never ask a question if you don't want to hear the answer. So I truly want to hear the answer of how you guys started this phenomenal work. So you came up with a training that lasted about 7 hours?
Yes, it is a full day. And oddly enough, most folks always say the feedback that we get most often is that they want more time,
mm-hmm.
That they want more information, that they could use another day, or, you know, is there a way that we could expand this to make this training an entire week?
Uh-huh.
There's a real hunger for space to have these conversations right now.
So how did you get the Washington State Labor Council on board with this once they saw, you know, what the outcome was?
It's been fairly organic. You know, there's a lot of momentum behind it right now. So every time we do a workshop or offer a workshop, folks seem to go back to their local leaders and talk about the work that we're doing. And so we're getting more and more requests, both in-state and out-of-state, to offer these workshops or find ways to condense it. So that we can give folks, you know, a little bite of what the full 7-day workshop looks like.
7 days?
You know, the leadership, I'm sorry, 7 days. That's wishful thinking. 7-hour workshop. Yeah, keep me honest. Keep me honest. but, you know, to be candid, the leadership of the Washington State Labor Council is fully invested in this work. So President Jeff Johnson and Secretary Treasurer Lynn Dotson are fully committed to providing the staff resources and the financial resources they need to commit in order to continue to roll this work out. And frankly, it would not have happened were it not for their commitment and their leadership.
Hi, April. This is Dr. Audrey Terrell.
Dr. Terrell.
It was good to see you at the Regional Women's Conference. The conference that we had a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, it's great to be there.
We really enjoyed you, and I was just listening to these workshop and how much diversity training, how important this workshop is. Oh my God! You would think, and I'm a retiree, that after 50 years have gone by, how important this workshop is today.
Mm-hmm.
And I applaud you for your efforts and all that you've done and you're going to be doing. And certainly I want to say that we here in Oregon will be supportive in any way that we can to put this workshop, these workshops out, because
because
we look at the history of racism in our country, and that's what your workshop going to be doing. And in the labor movement, there is really some concerns in our unions about this racism. So, and I know it's going to take more than 7 hours, because a lot of things are going to come to life that we thought of, but we haven't said, and we really need to discuss. We thought it was all over. You know, all is well. You know, I got a job. And where we are today, and as we look at the history in our government, our leadership in our government, no, there's more work to be done. So beyond the fact of extending our availability to support you in, here in Oregon to do what we can to support you, we'd like to be a part of it. But continue to tell us more about these workshops and the subject matters, and some of the things, even the, some of the things that y'all brought to open discussions through having these workshops.
And thank you for that. Thank you for your support, and it was great to see you last weekend, the weekend before last. Well, you know, one of the things I do want to say, or at least share with your listeners, is, you know, I love the labor movement. Right. Like it was my mom's union job that got our family off of welfare.
Right.
And her union job that gave her economic dignity for the first time in her life.
Right.
And so I believe in this movement, and I know firsthand the difference that the union can make in the lives of workers, families, and communities. That being said, as a Black woman leader in the labor movement, I often navigate spaces that are not designed for my success. And I think y'all know what I'm talking about.
But of course.
And so this work, the work that we're doing to address racial equity in the labor movement, is both personally and professionally near and dear to my heart. So if I'm sharing a lot of information, it's because I'm really excited to be able to do this work. But, you know, it's also because I recognize a real need to do this work. And I think for too long, what we have done in the labor movement is offer folks a seat at the table and not dealt them into the game. Or explain the rules of the game to them. Maybe we deal them in, but we don't explain the rules of the game to them. And what we're trying to do through our racial equity work in Washington State is make sure that if we are bringing folks to the table, that we are ensuring that they have an opportunity to impact the rules of the game.
It's my
so that they can play it.
It's my understanding part of the workshop training is to also examine what some of the operational policies are.
Absolutely. I mean, so, you know, our workshop goes over, we walk participants through the manifestations of racism and how workers experience it in their unions and their work sites. So to try to address maybe some of that colorblindness for folks who think we don't still have an issue with racism or think that if it doesn't show up, if it's not burning crosses and white hoods, then there isn't a problem. And then we talk about the impacts of racism on our movement. And, you know, like I shared with you all a couple of weekends ago, there was a large public sector union that did a national survey of its members and found that while union favorability is the highest among Black workers, they're also the population that's the most likely to leave their union given the opportunity, which suggests that there's a disconnect there in the value of the labor movement and a place for these workers in their union institutions. So, you know, we talk a lot about the impacts of racism on our movement and how race has been used to divide the working class throughout the history of this country. And then we allow folks to practice identifying and interrupting oppressive moments when they see them. And then we really pivot to talking about the systems that are in our union that perpetuate racism and how we as leaders can start to impact those systems. And I think that's one of the things that makes this workshop unique from other racial equity workshops or other diversity training, and then that in that it's designed to both educate participants and give them a foundation of knowledge, but also move them through or to a more practical place where they can see themselves as agents for change.
You know, April, this, if there ever was a time for these workshops, it's now. Look at the elections results across the country. You know, look at what's happening in Georgia and Florida. If there ever was a time for this, and we got to do more than just sit around and accept. We need to talk among ourselves. So this is a perfect timing for this training and this workshop session. So I commend you. First, I could hear in your not only then at our conference, but even now, your personal compassion for doing something. People always want to do something, but they don't do nothing. But when you have that personal commitment and compassion, you realize how the union, the importance in your family life and growing up and your family members, all of that will do so much to make the workshop a success. So as I listen to you, as I listen with the core of these diversity training, and it's just more than that. It's just where we are today. The timing is perfect for that. So again, I'm just looking forward to this and being a part of it in whatever way we can.
I'm excited about it. I'm really excited if I can share this on the, well, I guess I'm going to just do it, right?
Yes.
But I'm excited about the conversations we were having about the CBTU regional chapters, having at least one person that was, you know, trained in facilitating these workshops so that we could roll this out on a larger scale. And it's exciting to think about what it would look like if there were a whole team of us, you know, having these conversations and offering these workshops to affiliates and unions all across the country, how we could really tap into the energy that we're seeing, you know, at the local and national level and really impact change. Because when you talk about Georgia and Florida and, you know, Massachusetts, I'm here for all of that.
Yes, I'm excited
about it. Yeah.
Yeah.
For those of our listeners who just tuned in, you're listening to the Coalition of Black Trade Unions segment of Labor Radio, highlighting the works of the working class, by the working class, and for the working class, here on KBOO 90.7 FM, where the heart of the community comes alive 7 days a week. Our guest tonight is Sister April Sims, who's the Political and Strategic Campaign Director with the Washington State Labor Council. Tonight we're talking about a really rad program that they have started there, and it addresses racism in unions. And so earlier, April, you were talking about the dedication of blacks being in the union, being willing to join, but also indicated that in some instances, they may be the first to drop out. So it seems as though to me your program might be might look at the Janus effect. Is that a fair assessment?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, I've been thinking about this for the last couple of weeks, and folks who know their labor history, right? Might remember the Taft-Hartley Act that was passed in 1947 that, you know, changed the way, made it harder for unions to organize workers, but essentially, and probably more importantly, allowed individual states to pass right-to-work laws.
Mm-hmm.
And I think about where the labor movement was in terms of the division that we saw. You know, at the time, the AFL and the CIO were two separate organizations, and they were ideologically divided in terms of their organizing strategy. And because our movement was divided when the Taft-Hartley Act was passed in 1947, we didn't mount a sufficient campaign to counter that. And the result of that is, you know, more and more states are passing right-to-work laws.
Right.
And so I think about the moment that we have in front of us with the Janus decision, and I think if we remain ideologically divided in our organizing strategies, and we don't look at the work that we're doing around racial equity and other social justice work and how the labor movement intersects with other social justice movements, then we may miss this second opportunity to really resist these growing right-to-work efforts. And so I think of, you know, this workshop as just one small component of a broader effort to resist the growing right-to-work movement in this country.
April, I was just and the clock is ticking so fastly. I don't think it's if you mention it, but as our union listeners, is there a contact number that we can have from you that those listeners can contact you about this workshop? How can we be a part of it in some kind of way?
Absolutely. So easiest way I will say is via email, let me give you my office phone number. It is 206-281-8901. And you can reach me by going to the Washington State Labor Council website, which is W for Washington, S for State, L for Labor, C for Council.org. And you can email me directly from that website, or you can email me at asims@wslc.org.
Thank you so much. The title of this, I'm looking at a printout here, Race and Labor. Let's talk about the elephant in the room.
Mm-hmm.
That's the title of the workshop, is it not?
We call it Race and Labor, Let's Talk About It. Let's Talk About the Elephant in the Room, I think is the name of an article that I wrote for Labor Notes this
sure.
year.
Okay.
But I like that title even better than the original workshop title. yeah.
So it's my understanding that you guys have had, you've offered this training to various locals. How did those locals contact you, or did you contact them?
A combination of the two. So we do outreach to our affiliates. We've sent letters. We've called leaders. We post this on our daily electronic newsletter that we send out. But largely, most of the folks that have participated so far have self-selected.
Okay.
And one of the things that I didn't talk about, and I don't know if you cut me off because I don't know how to make a long story short. I do my best to make it interesting.
Sure.
But we do have a goal based on a resolution that passed in 2017 that calls on 50% of our locals and affiliates to go through the training by the end of this year.
Okay.
75% by the end of next year. And all of them, the full 100% by the end of 2020, which is an ambitious goal, but we are working on it.
All right. Yeah, I was going to ask you about what your goals are. So at that point, are you going to go back to the Washington State Labor Council convention and give them a readout of what's taking place?
Yes, yes. And equally exciting, the resolution called on us to hold a Race and Labor Summit this year where we brought together at least 100 young activists of color
mm-hmm.
to really think through the components of a toolkit and identify some best practices that we could put together and offer to our affiliates or anyone who is looking to do social justice work. Things around, research, what demographic information and data should we be looking at when we're thinking about our racial equity work, and how can we use that as an indicator of not only where we need to focus, but how effective our programs are when we're doing this work. Organizing, are we being intentional about recruiting and retaining staff that match the membership?
Sure.
Having organizers go through the race and labor training.
Sure.
Those kinds of things. So leadership development, community partnerships, international solidarity, staffing, collective bargaining. There's a whole list of areas that we've identified the need to develop best practices around so that we can put together a comprehensive toolkit. And that's really exciting.
So have you done this summit already?
Yes, we just held the summit on September 14th and 15th.
Okay.
We actually pulled together 150 leaders and activists from all across the state and across a wide range of affiliates and working groups and did a real deep dive into, the beginning of the toolkit.
April, I'm an academician, and I've just got to ask this question. Have you approached any colleges and universities about presenting this to some of their departments?
No, but it would be exciting to do that. Well, let me say maybe. We have been working with the Labor Education Resource Center here in Washington State, and they are partners in this work. And we will be offering a 90-minute presentation on our race and labor work to one of the community colleges in December. So we haven't done any broad outreach to colleges and universities, but I'd certainly be open to, you know, I'll talk to anybody anywhere at any time about
great,
this.
Great, great, so. Great, great.
So on that note, you want to give our listeners the information on how they can get in touch with you?
Absolutely. So again, my name is April Sims. I'm the Political and Strategic Campaign Director with the Washington State Labor Council. Best way to reach me is via email. That's asims, S-I-M-S, at W-S-L-C for Washington State Labor Council, .org. And my phone number is 206-281-8901. And if you weren't able to write all that down in time, you can Google Washington State Labor Council and contact me via our website.
Wow. Like I said, sounds like a really, really wicked program.
Thank you, indeed. April. We were very impressed at the conference. And Madam President and I have been talking quite a bit. You know, we were glad to meet you. We encourage and open up for support whatever way we can.
Thank you.
I think this is a really great, the timing is so perfect for this. And you've already contacted Bill Fletcher, which I've known for a while, and I know what he's about, and I know what he's been pushing. I've read a lot of his articles. So and Sherman Sherman Henry, who's over the labor University of Oregon Labor Education, is he not?
Right, he's an educator.
We all work together, and he works closely with the CBTU, and I'm sure this is something that he's going to want to bring here to Oregon in some form, some fashion, to some Oregon, some local or some union. So we're going to work together with this because the timing is perfect for this, that we need to talk. There is an elephant in the room. And I like that title. And we need to discuss it because voting, and not only important to voting, but you got to know who you're voting for, why you're voting for them, and all the particulars around it. So it's got to be a discussion, especially in labor, direct ourselves to addressing that elephant in the room and open it up for discussion.
Well, you know, April, I didn't think it could be done, but you did a fantastic job of bringing our listeners up to speed about this wonderful program. When I looked at the material that you gave us at our regional Coalition of Black Trade Unionists convention conference a few weeks ago, I was just really, really blown away about the work that you guys have accomplished. And I want to thank you very much for being our guest tonight. One more time, tell them how they can get in touch with you.
Well, thank you so much for having me on tonight. Best way to reach me is via email at asims, that's S-I-M-S, at WSLC.org, or you can call my office at 206-281-8901. And you can always contact me via the website. Just Google Washington State Labor Council, and a link to our website will pop up there. But I want to thank you so much for inviting me on tonight and giving me an opportunity to talk about this work. Sure. I want to thank you for your support and tell you how much I'm looking forward to continuing to do this work with both of you, my strong sisters in the movement. Thank you.
Thank you.
And the closing announcement is the Coalition of Black Trade Unions meets the second Tuesday of every month at 6 p.m. at the American Federation of State, County, and Municipal Employee William Bill Lucy Building at 6025 East Burnside here in Portland. And our next meeting will be on October the 9th, 2018. And our email address is orcbtu10@gmail.com. We would love to hear from you. So join us in our evolving adventure of representing Black union workers.
So with that being said, we'll call it a night. Thank you very much, and holla.
To you, the 9-to-5-er, just making your way home. To you, the all-night driver, out in your cab alone. To you, waiting for lunch break, as the minutes drag so slow. Take courage, turn the volume up, it's Labor Radio.
K is proud to co-sponsor the Palestinian Film Festival, October 5th to the 7th, at the Fifth Avenue Cinema in downtown Portland. From Friday evening to Sunday afternoon, the theater will feature films by and about Palestinians and the Israeli occupation.
The Stones Cry Out, a film about Palestinian Christians, will play on Friday, October 5th. Then, The Wanted 18, about the nonviolent struggle in Beit Sahur and the herd of 18 cows that Israel deemed a national security threat.
The Occupation of the American Mind, Steadfast Hope, and more.
You can find a link to tickets for the event on KBOO.FM on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Baby, you understand me now. If sometimes you see that I'm mad, don't you know no one alive can always be an angel? When everything goes wrong, you see some bad. But I'm just a soul whose intentions are good. Oh Lord, please don't let me be misunderstood.
Good evening and welcome to Prison Pipeline. Tonight on Prison Pipeline, we are joined by Karen Mockren in studio. Karen is a criminal defense attorney who specializes in, among other populations, representing transgender clients. Welcome, Karen.
Thank you. It's good to be here. I'm good to be here with you.
So, Karen, let's start with, let's just talk a little bit about who you are. You're an attorney, so how did you get involved in, how did you become interested in the law?
Oh, gosh. How did I be-